Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Tuesday, September 24th, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 48, paragraph 3, which begins with "Everybody nowadays believes in cores of assumptions." And we're reading one paragraph only, ending with "to illustrate." One paragraph only today. Today's readers are Kathy P. for the 12 Steps, Letty G. for the 12 Traditions, Robin P., Lou Anne C., and Margaret D. are here to cover the text for us. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for September 23rd is 21766. That's 21766. And the reference number for this morning's 10 a.m. Eastern 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21768. That's 21768. COA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Kathy P. to steps of OA.
Hi, Kathy P. from Oregon. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Kathy P. Letty G., would you please read the 12 Traditions of OA?
I certainly will. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I'm Letty G., compulsive overeater. These are the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, our group purpose. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on traction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Letty G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on in the chapter We Agnostics on page 46, paragraph 3, which begins with Everybody Nowadays. We're going to read and comment on one paragraph only, and I will ask Robin P. to please begin reading for us.
Thank you, Elaine. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm usually in Costa Rica, and I'm currently in Mars, Pennsylvania. Everybody nowadays believes in scores of assumptions for which there is good evidence, but no perfect visual proof. And does not science demonstrate that visual proof is the weakest proof? It is being constantly revealed as mankind studies the material world that outward appearances are not inward reality at all. To illustrate, and then it goes on, but that's what I'm reading today. I know that electricity exists. I know Wi-Fi, all of those other things exist, and I don't see them. And I know that gravity exists, and all of these other laws of nature. And I came into the program, and I was a devout atheist. I was raised that way. And, I was not even an agnostic. I was an atheist. And so this paragraph was so helpful for me. And somebody just said to me at the meeting that I went to at Moravian Church in New York City, and she just said, just any power that's greater than your God, which is food, because your God has failed you, or you wouldn't be here. And which was so true. And I was so desperate for help, but I was so afraid to believe in God. And so she just said, just act as if. And I started practicing acting as if, and it worked. And then this was my bridge to God, this program, because I had a spiritual awakening of the profound variety that led me to the God of my understanding today. And I'm eternally grateful to this program, because I don't think that I would have been open enough for that experience if it hadn't been for these rooms. And, it says the science demonstrates that visual proof is the weakest proof. And I love that so much. And good orderly direction or God, I had such a miraculous weekend. And it was all based on acting as if and faith. And my dad passed away. He was an orchestra conductor his whole life for 60 years. He had a massive brain tumor that came out of nowhere, and he died in 2 months. And we had his memorial concert this weekend, and because I had starred on Broadway when I was younger, I sang with his orchestra. They assembled an orchestra from the past 60 years of musicians, and It was amazing. It was so beautiful, and the concert was so beautiful, and I got to sing, and it felt such a blessing, and I got to share some of my memories, and other people shared memories, and it was so perfect. And a sister who I had been estranged from, we connected. She had taken $200,000 out of my mother's will for us, and used it for our children, and you know, I just let it go. And we were all just loving each other and being together. It was a huge, miraculous weekend. And I was really afraid to go because of the family dynamics. And you know what? I showed up. I acted as if I kept praying. Other people were praying. Thank you. Other people were praying for me. And the power of prayer, of that which is unseen, was completely seen this weekend. So God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinence day. I pass. Thank you. Thanks a lot, Elaine, for your service.
Thank you so much, Robin P. And wow, thank you very, very much. Okay. Though we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day that others might share their experience too. So if you'd like to comment on page 48, paragraph 3, that one paragraph, please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Karen KZ.
Luann C.
Luann C. Anyone else?
Dana P.
Dana P.
Barbara A., California.
Barbara A.
Patricia Ann.
Patricia Ann.
D. Mm-hmm.
Patricia Ann B. Okay. All right. That sounds like a great lineup. We've got Karen K., Luann C., Dana P., Barbara A., and Patricia Ann. Oh, Karen KZ, rather. I'm sorry. You can't read my own writing here. All right. Karen KZ, please share with us, and you'll be followed by Luann C.
Thank you. This is Karen KZ in Missouri, gratefully recovered. And I just love this whole chapter. And I love this thing where it talks about visual proof. And I don't actually see God or see an image of that, you know, that's not concrete. But what I see is in the results. What I see is when I turn my will and my life over, when I invite God to take over, I just see these things happening in my life that I could not have done myself. And like yesterday, our son came over and helped clean up the whole basement, and it wasn't a part of the plan. He was just bringing something else over. But I just see that I don't have any expectations and that I'm being kinder and more loving, like I made chili. And, you know, I just am doing things that are kind and loving, and that's not me. That is that power within me that's greater than me, that I call God, that's everywhere present. And when I look for that, and I look for the good, and I look for God in everyone and everything, that's what I'm finding. And I'm just seeing the miracles and the things that I couldn't make happen or other people couldn't make happen. I got a long way to go, by the way, because I keep taking stuff back and I keep thinking I got to make this happen. But it's a waste of my life. The best life is turning it all over, asking God to take over, and then just receiving, giving thanks for all the blessings. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, KZ. Well, okay, Luann C., you're up next, followed by Dana P.
Thank you, Elaine, and thanks to our first reader, and just thanks to everybody for being here and helping me this morning. I'm Luann C. I'm recovered today in Boise, Idaho. The thing that stuck out to me in relation to compulsive overeating is the good evidence, but no perfect visual proof. But, you know, I have the best evidence for me. I have experience. You know, yesterday we talked about facts and results. I have the facts and results that I experienced before surrender. And those facts were I did it my way, what made sense to me, and the results were I could not break free. And I have the facts and results that are my experience after I surrendered to this process. And those are that I'm free if I work my program, and visually the weakest proof, I've lost all the weight. You know, I have no idea. I have no clue what underlines all that we see, but I have the experience that when I align with my higher power, and that alignment occurred through working the steps, the food compulsion is alleviated. And as I seek higher power's guidance, I'm becoming more courteous, calmer, more cooperative, and self-possessed. I mean, I was always possessed, but I'm never self-possessed. You know, all the things associated with love, which make me think, huh, that's really interesting. I want to know more. I want to grow more. And if you're a newcomer, I can't tell you what your facts and results and experiences are, but you know what they are. And if you honestly look at those, I can tell you that was a place for me to commence to having a relationship with a higher power that gave me the needed power to face life without being tethered to this awful food addiction. So I hope that for you. I hope recovery today for everyone here. And I just am so grateful, and I thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Luann C. Okay, Dana P., you're up next, followed by Barbara A.
Thank you, Elaine. Dana P. here. I am in California. Really appreciate the lead share, Robin. Always love hearing the story. And I did ask a question on Sunday, so I don't know if that's within my 3-day limit. I realized it after I put my name out. So I'll leave that to you, Elaine.
Please share with us, Dana. It's fine.
Okay, yeah, thanks so much. I love this chapter, and it's just so interesting to me. You know, this book was written in the 30s, right? I mean, was it 39? I think it came out. He got sober in 35, so in 39. And they're talking about scientific facts, right? These things we know. Well, a lot of years have passed, and a lot more things we know to be true. Scientifically about obesity and or any form of eating disorder. I've never been overweight. In practicing my disease, compulsively overeating and purge vomiting and compulsive exercising, compulsive working, and many, many other things, all boiling down to the obsession of the mind and running away, you know, pretty intense. And so many scientific studies done around that, and they found out a lot. I have a friend even that shared with me that there's an anorexia gene, and she got tested, and she has the anorexia gene. I was anorexic. So, you know, there's a lot of information out there. We also know, you know, how do they say calories in, calories out. We can change all these things, but what I really want to focus on and share, you know, for the newcomer is, and or for those of us that need to be reminded, because I need to be reminded every single day, this is not about the food. It's not about even the obsession of the mind, for that matter. I thought that once all that stuff was straightened out, I'd be okay. Well, you know, and better than okay, which wasn't true, because it all got straightened out and I was still not okay. And the truth is, and it says it in our book, when we straighten out spiritually, we straighten out mentally, physically, emotionally, and I'm not quoting, but in every other way. And what that means for me is that I have a personal relationship, constant, to the best of my ability, contact with a power greater than myself. And I get that through working the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and following the directions that are laid out in the book. So I really appreciate the opportunity to share, and I'll pass with that. Everybody have a great day.
Thank you very much, Dana P. Barbara A., you are up next, followed by Patricia Ann.
Thank you. Thank you, moderator. Good morning, everyone here on the line. So grateful to be on a meeting, sharing with you, relating all the shares, especially about one who said, just because my weight is normal, that's an outside appearance. That's an outside something that I used to judge all the time because someone was thin, because they were healthy, you know, fit, that they everything was okay. I have been able to achieve some miraculous recovery with my weight, and my mind is still where my weight was. I work very diligently to contact people, to work this program, because we are in the chapter We Agnostics. We are talking about how to find a higher power that will help relieve me of my compulsions, understanding a higher power. Today I'm so grateful to listen and to learn and to be humbled by the messages that come through this line. I will always be a compulsive overeater. I will never raise above the level of being human. I will make mistakes. I am not a mistake. I need to learn that every day. I compare myself so much with other people, and that is the weakest proof. I'm so grateful for this meeting. I'm grateful for the moderator and all who share. Thank you, and I pass.
Grateful for you too, Barbara A. Thank you for sharing. Okay. Up next is Patricia Ann. And after Patricia, we're going to take another lineup of people who would like to share in the chapter of We Agnostics. We're commenting on page 48, paragraph 3, which begins with everybody nowadays believes in cores of assumption. But that one paragraph only. Please share with us, Patricia Ann, and then we'll take another
line. Thank you. Hey, I'm Patricia Ann D. from North Carolina. I honed in on that same thing. The outer appearance are not inward realities at all. And for me, this is people and me, of course. You know, my outward appearance may not match my inward feelings, but I have experienced a horrible thing in my life, and the outward appearance is what all is all I see. Up to know that I am a very I have been past tense naive and gullible in my life, and when somebody does something bad, I have been in the habit of basically ignoring it and, you know, looking for the good. And I have learned that I can't do that. I have to keep my mind open and not shut down and ignore the negative or ignore the bad. And it is, you know, behaviors and not just blow off that stuff, you know, because outward appearance is important. But the outward appearance are not inward realities at all. And that goes both ways. You know, if they do a bad behavior, doesn't mean they're bad, you know? However, I've learned that I have to keep my mind open, keep my eyes and ears alert because of the trauma that I've suffered. It's like, and it's from being gullible. It's from being naive and listening and believing what other people tell me or what I see, outward appearance, but the inward reality was nothing like I thought. And so I can't even, I guess the point is I can't judge at all. Don't judge whether they're good or bad, you know, right or wrong, or whatever. It's not a judgment at all. It's more of observation. I need to be observing life versus judging it to be good or bad or right or wrong. I need to just observe. And because nothing is as it seems. It appears it appears to be nothing is as it seems, and there's a spiritual underlying thing going on, and I need to keep my eyes and heart open to what God has. You know, keep my mind aware of there's more to everything than I think or I've thought. There's more to it than that. Anyways, with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Patricia Ann D. Okay, who would like to comment on page 48, paragraph 3? If you haven't shared in, although we value your experience, we do ask you to limit your share every third day so that others might share their experience too. If you'd like to
Larry
comment.
George.
Mary Ellen. Okay. I heard Larry G, somebody, last name, last initial R, and that's all I got.
Beverly R.
M.
Justine
Ginger,
R, and who was that? Who was that that ended
M.
with an M? I got Ginger M and Justine. What was the first initial of your last name?
Justine J from Tennessee.
J. Let me tell you who I've got. I've got Larry G, Beverly R, Ginger M, Justine J. Okay, and who else
Mary
wanted
Ellen
to share?
T.
Mary Ellen T.
Carolyn S H.
Carolyn S.H. We may have room for one more.
Lindy.
Okay. Hope we can fit everybody in. Okay. This is what I've got. Larry G., Beverly R., Ginger M., Justine J., Mary Ellen T., Carolyn C., and Lindy. Wow. Great lineup. Okay. Larry G., please share with us.
My name is Larry G., and I'm recovered here in California. Robin, thank you. My condolences. God gets a bad rap, man. Jeez. You know, he's blamed for everything. And especially some of the folks I know in 12-step, we blame God for many things, but were we at fault? God is not vengeful. Man has contaminated religion and spirituality. Man has done unjust things in the word of religion, using religion. Some real crimes against humanity. But God didn't do that. God's not a puppet master or codependent where, just because an Notre Dame football team praise before each game, God's not going to award them a national championship. They got to go out and earn it. And God is not going to grant Larry abstinence. I have to seek God. I got to devote myself, my life to God. I've been studying physics lately. I'm really interested in physics, and I came across this article about this particle that was discovered a few years back that. This particle is, they're calling it the God particle because this particle is responsible for the creation of stars in our universe. And it's super hard to detect. And this particle creates and dissolves other particles. Now, I don't know if they discovered God. I love what Stephen Hawking said. He's the most brilliant man in my lifetime. Said that, man, science, technology will never unlock the mysteries of the universe. And, for me, it's a hell of a lot interesting conversation to talk about the existence of God rather than trying to prove that God doesn't exist. Because if there is an afterlife, I just want a little insurance that, I'm doing my part, God. I'm devoting my life to you. Just a little insurance in case you're there in this afterlife. I don't want to have to come back again as another compulsive eater and do this all over. Anyway, welcome to all the new people and the people who've returned. Just reach out, reach your hand out, and you're going to get 10 hands reaching back to you. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Larry G. Beverly R., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Ginger M.
Hello, this is Beverly R., and I just wanted to share briefly and say, help, Lord, help, I need your help. And that's all I have to say, and thanks for listening.
I agree with that prayer, Beverly. Thank you very much. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
A lot of help here. Hope you, if you haven't left your number, take some numbers at the end when we have available sponsors. That'd be great people to reach out to.
Okay.
So thank you very much. Okay, Ginger M., you're up next, followed by Justine J.
Did you say Ginger?
Yes, I did. Thank
you. So this is such a beautiful meeting. I'm newly back to this meeting and to the program, and the shares are so phenomenal. I loved what someone said, that I'm not a mistake, I make mistakes. And I've been aware that proof of God isn't visible. But I was really astonished to hear it read in the book today. I didn't realize, I haven't read the whole book, and I didn't realize that was in the book. And as someone said, this was written a long time ago, and it's very, quite amazing that it speaks about how visibility is not a proof of existence in many areas. And it's very reaffirming for me of God's existence and God's role in my life, which God willing is constant. I need to learn ways, if they exist, to protect myself from negative people and their negative energy. It has an effect on me, and it's not just an effect for a few minutes. You know, it could take a day, and that's a day lost for me that was given to me by God. And so that's something that I'm working on, in addition to staying right-sized and humble, leaving room for God to fill up my life, fill me up inside. And I'm just really amazed and grateful to having been on this meeting today. Thank you, I pass.
Glad you are here and glad you shared, Ginger M. Thank you very much. Justine J., you're up next, followed by Mary Ellen T. Justine J., star one to unmute.
Justine J., compulsive overeater.
Thank you.
I just wanted to share and say this has been an amazing meeting, and I love the agnostics, and I can see, even though I can't see God, I've never been able to see God or my higher power. And sometimes I've had doubts, like, is this even real? But I can feel today, and I can see, not necessarily with my eyes, but I can see in my life and myself an actual change that, like, a very descriptive, here's a very specific example. I was feeling really ungrateful. My friend was having me watch her daughter 3 times a week. I still am. She's here right now. And I felt like I wasn't getting paid enough. Like, she's like, oh, this is all we can afford, like drop-in daycare, like $60, $50. And I started to feel really ungrateful and wanting more and then kind of getting resentful and this and that. And I knew that it was unreasonable. So I was praying specifically for this defect of character, this selfishness to be removed. I'm not even kidding you. Today, I've been overwhelmed with gratitude for even having this job, because it's turning out to be a blessing that I'm working all these hours for such little money, because I qualify for this, like, state assistance with childcare. But I was so greedy and thought that, you know, it wasn't enough, but I didn't see how God was working. Anyway, if I hadn't had done the steps and been able to, like, realize that I don't want to be an ungrateful, I want to feel gratitude, I want to feel love, I want to be happy. And I can't do that on my own. My spirit gets really sick. And so I do this work and I am able to be free of that. So, yeah, I can see God in that way. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Justine J. Mary Ellen T., you're up next.
Good morning. My name is Mary Ellen T., and I'm a compulsive overeater in recovery and abstinent today. I live in Oregon, and I'm really grateful to be on this meeting and to hear all the messages that you all share with me, because you guys teach me. You teach me how to find the way to having that connection with my higher power. And I also get really nervous when I share, but I'm trying to practice the 12th step and to share my recovery, my experience, strength, and hope, because that's what you all have done for me, and I want to be able to continue to pass it on. And you know, when I look at the paragraph, the sentence, you know, believes in scores of assumptions, and the word assumption really jumps out at me. You know, the willingness to believe, in pieces of information that get thrown at me. So if I go online and go to Google University, you know, how quick am I to believe, to believe the information that's being fed to me? This plays a piece in, like, how is it that I believe and have a scores of assumptions about people that I have disturbances towards. Those are all assumptions as well too. You know, I'm assuming that they did something to me on purpose. So assumptions show up for me in my life that way. So I kind of practice in the realm of assumptions, and just along the same lines as how I've taken the messages that you all have shared with me on how you found your higher power. And I've had to trust. I've just had to assume that the same thing is going to happen to me too if I have that same sort of desire. That's the part that I tried to practice, is assuming that if I do the actions, I'm going to get the same kind of outcome. I'm going to have that rich relationship that I so seek to know from a higher power. She's my source. And she's my mother. She guides me and she directs me. But, you know, I couldn't have gotten to that relationship without just, willing to believe some of the assumptions that, you know, other people have shared. And thank you so much. I appreciate everything that you all do. I pass.
Thank you, Mary Ellen T. Carolyn C., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Lynn D. Star one to unmute. Carolyn C.
Hi, Elaine. Could you have meant Carolyn S.H.?
I could have. Yes, definitely.
Awesome. Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you so much for your service. Hi, everyone. Carolyn S.H., recovered, living in Massachusetts, New York. I have gotten so much out of this discussion. This is one of my favorite parts of the book. I actually studied physics a few decades ago. And I think one of the reasons is because the way my brain works is I want to know what's underneath. I want to know, you know, what's behind what I'm seeing. That's always been very important to me. And I was taught one of the times I did these steps, one of my sponsors said that what's in this what's in this chapter is Bill is laying out, and the writers are laying out, three reasons why we should be willing to believe. And one of the reasons is that we already believe stuff that we can't see. And he's going to go on to talk about atoms and stuff. And electrons. And I just so appreciate this. I don't have the time to go into it, but like, there's so many ways folks are talking about, like, there's always evidence of stuff that we can't see, that what's on the surface is just like the visual. I get it that it's the weakest proof in so many ways. And there was something specific I was going to cite, but I'm driving and I am a little distracted, so I'm going to leave it there. But I'm glad I got to be part of this meeting this morning. Thanks, everyone.
I am too. Carolyn S.H., thank you so much. Lindy, please share with us.
Thank you so much for your service. I'm Lynn D., compulsive overeater from San Diego, California. So it took me years to figure out who my higher power was, and I'm so grateful that the book used different words for God, higher power, divine being. But most importantly, I found my higher power. I used to do workshops on it, and I went to this one where you're supposed to draw a picture of your higher power, and people came out with, like, you know, all sorts of great drawings, and I came out with a blob, you know. I just couldn't figure it out. I used to do, like, I remember some step studies did, like, a resume, like a, you know, job offering for your higher power. I did a million of those, and I just couldn't figure it out. But what happened was I was doing the steps thoroughly with another fellow, and that sunlight of the spirit, another way that the book described a higher power, and it just clicked for me. There was something that everything kind of just, like, opened up, and visually I could see, like, oh, oh, you live in San Diego. Every beautiful sunset, every way the sun went through the back door and, like, lit up the floor, you know, like, every little visual of light, sun, everything. Like, you have a sun god, and it was very, very profound, and it hit me hard. And then, it, like, no wonder why I couldn't draw a picture of my higher power, you know? Like, it's just light. It's everywhere. I can visually see it. I can feel.
We just lost you, Lindy. Are you there? Star one to unmute. I'm not sure what happened. It may have been something with her car. Okay. If she comes back on, we'll let her finish. But meanwhile, I think we have time for maybe one full share and a 2-minute share. Anybody like to take that?
This is Vicky T.
Vicky T.
Hi.
And anybody? Hi.
Lilia C.
Lilia C. Okay, you'll take the time that's left. Okay, Vicky T., go ahead and share with us, please.
Sure. Thank you so much. Thanks for your friendly service. This is Vicky T., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. Yeah, I was able to see the visual proof, actually, this weekend of God. I went to an in-person convention here in Florida, which was just very exciting. And I used to go to meetings in Florida, face-to-face meetings. So I saw people that I hadn't seen in like 20 years. And it brought back a lot of memories of the way that I used to work the program. And I worked the program without a higher power. And I worked the program with other higher powers. And I had the memories of how my life was. I was usually showing up at meetings, just having binged and being sad and crying and depressed, or being depressed or just out of control. And being there this weekend was, I was just overwhelmed and just saw the actual visual proof of what it's like to work the program with a higher power and what it's like to work the program without. And I choose to call my higher power God. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much. And let's see, Lila, Lila, you have time for 3 minutes here. Please share with us.
Okay, thank you. So my name is Lily S.C., compulsive overeater. I have found, I've been in OA for about 3.5 years now. And recently, you know, it's just part of my story. So my son passed away about 1.5 years ago, and I could not stay abstinent. And I, you know, it took me, oh my goodness, I went through the steps about 4 times. And it's so interesting because this time around, I realized that, you know, I was sitting at my computer watching, you know, I was on a Zoom meeting because I'm going to, you know, I knew that I had, you know, lost a good amount of weight in my first year and a half of abstinence. So I knew that OA was the only way. And I've also been a Christian all my life. And I just kind of, you know, I was sitting there and I was binging and I was watching, you know, my I guess want to say show, which is my OA. I just kind of felt like my story has been in the agnostic time around. I could only allow myself to go as far as I humanly could go. And this time around, because it was, you know, the death of my son and it was something that I could absolutely not get through myself, I have found God finally. And while I was sitting there binging, watching, you know, the show, I felt like my higher power just kind of, you know, I heard God kind of just tell me, are you going to let me help you? Because I was sitting there contemplating, I'm never going to leave OA. I was to the point where I knew it was the only way. And then I knew that my higher power, I knew that God loved me, but I didn't necessarily have a relationship where I would let him take me further than I would, than I could humanly go myself, if that makes any sense. So this time around, I have found God. I have allowed my human power, my higher power, God, take me further than I could go, which I say that OA has made a way where I can get up and function every day with the horrible loss of my son. And losing weight has been a plus. So I'm tremendous. So thankful for this program. With that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Lilia A. I'm glad you had an opportunity to share. Okay. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Luann C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Elaine. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.